Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for a Wednesday. Playoff week, Pats Broncos coming up Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. No, I won't be here. Sorry.
That's unfortunate, John.
Well, you know, I warned the Patriots this could happen because of the college basketball season. Schedule comes out. If I have a game, especially on the road, somewhere in mid-January, there's always a possibility. Always a possibility. Can't do anything about the NFL. It's just the way it is. They want the Patriots in primetime on Saturday night. If they had opted for the Sunday game, I'd have been fine.
But you'll be here for the AFC Championship?
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll be a Sunday. I'll be here for the Sunday without a problem. But the Saturday game, hey, I work on Saturdays. What can I tell you? That's just the way it works. Nothing else I can do about it. I'm kind of bummed. I'm being a stinking bus. Can you imagine?
To go to Syracuse.
Yeah.
Or to come back from Syracuse.
Yeah. Brutal.
I just hope you don't get caught in any sort of, freak lake effect snowstorm.
Well, you know
what?
If it happens, it happens. It's the time of year. We've all been lucky, knock on Formica here, that, we haven't had a brutal winter up here thus far. It's actually been quite mild. So very thankful for that. But nevertheless, it is what it is. I have the game already set on the DVR. So,
oh, do you really?
Oh, yeah. So when
Did
I get
you extend it, too?
I have extended it. So in case it goes long and I will be, after I get home at about the crack of, dawn on Saturday/Sunday morning, after I grab a couple hours of shut-eye, I wake right up and go right to the videotape, so to speak. So I'll have everything.
Yeah.
I'll have everything.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know who won at that point.
Oh, yeah,
obviously.
I'll know. Well, I'll be following it probably on Game Tracker or something like that while I'm on the bus. And then, I've also decided to bring with me my old, and they're not terribly old, but, you don't really have much use for them anymore. My headphones that are an AM radio set.
Yep.
So what I'll do is that while we're traveling in upstate New York and getting into the Mass Pike, I'm going to see if I can, pick up 98.5.
Oh. Yeah,
and see if I can catch
Gil and Gino.
So I can see if I can catch some of Gil and Gino on the way and hopefully catch, some of the second half at the very least, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping anyway.
Tip-off's at what time?
Tip-off is at 6, so by the time we get done and get back on the road, we'll probably just be in the second quarter.
Do you do the 1 hour after the game ends thing
no,
like
about
they do with football?
Minutes. About 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
30-minute post. Oh, what do you mean?
To actually get back on the bus and take off.
I would say from the time the game ends and then I have a 30-minute post-game show, it's probably an hour until we pull out from the time the game ends.
All right, so
the
same thing as us.
So it would be, 9 o'clock would be about the time that we'd be pulling out, which would be second quarter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'll be looking at. So hopefully I'll be able to catch a signal somewhere in halftime, and I'll get the second half somewhere. That's the goal anyway.
And you can do the, the play-by-play tracker thing.
No question.
Right?
No question. I'll keep up. I know. I hate the fact that I have to do that, but, hey, like I said, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So that's the scoop. Not that you were interested, but that's the scoop for this weekend.
Well, we are interested,
no.
Because you're the voice of the stadium.
Yeah, but, it's the way it works.
Not everybody can do the set up the first down call the way you do.
Johnny Dolan will be just fine.
Eh.
We had a nice long talk yesterday. He's a good kid. He's got a lot of energy in his voice. He was in the stands.
Can he time it correctly, though?
Well, he was in the stands for the last game, and then we spent some time talking yesterday, and he wanted to know when, and I said, you'll know. You'll know. I said, first of all, most of the people right in front of you, since we have the booth open, most of the people right in front of you will turn around and point to you. And they'll say, do it! Do it!
He's pretty fired up, though. I've gotten about 10 emails from him this week.
Oh, he's totally fired
up.
He's not going to let anybody down.
Now, he'll have fun with it.
He'll have good fun. And
I hope he's practiced it, though.
I'm sure he probably has. I told him,
you have to practice it during all seven of those high school Super Bowls.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what he did.
He
did the Super Bowls?
He did all six, I think, all six games.
Well, then he knows.
That's good for another King Philip.
Yeah. That's good for another Zavarian. Yeah, I like it. All right. So that'll work. That'll work. We'll be fine. You guys will be fine. Everybody be fine. The question is,
another Patriot.
Nobody does it better, John.
I've changed that a little bit, though.
Nobody does it better.
I haven't been quite as aggressive with the Patriots. You know, I was, you know, I got, you know.
That's because you had the league yuckity mucks standing behind you.
I had the NFL behind me and complaining that I was cheerleading.
The no fun league officials.
Yeah, I know. Of course, everybody in the league now does it, so I guess they finally decided, well, we can't stop it because of that Rook guy. He started it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other teams in the NFL copy, and that's just nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. Like I said, it is what it is. Brings up the matter of conversation today, though. By the way, coming up on the program, we have, hold on a second, late breaking news. No late breaking news. No, I'm just looking at my Facebook page here. Brandon Crystal from Denver's 104.3 The Fan, who covers the Broncos, is going to join us, and we'll talk a little bit about punchers' chances. And whether or not they view this as, you know, a fighter having a puncher's chance or not, and what kind of a puncher's chance really do the Broncos have in this game coming up on Saturday. And frankly, I, for one, do feel like, you know, in the NFL, which, as we all know, is the, all parity league now, Broncos definitely have a puncher's chance. But what are the reasons behind their having a puncher's chance? I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, quite simply put, if the Broncos are able to run the ball with any sort of efficiency like they did in the first game and avoid turnovers, that in and itself is going to keep them in the game. Now, the question is whether or not they can do that in Foxborough as opposed to being in Denver. And the question is whether or not, you know, the Patriots having a week off and an extra week to prepare, you know, for the Broncos will, you know, give the Patriots any sort of advantage. And can the Patriots defensively give Tim Tebow some looks that he hasn't seen yet? All questions that will be answered on Saturday. The Patriots take care of business. In other words, by taking care of business, they don't turn it over. They're methodical in their approach. They keep Denver's defense on the field. Then I think, you know, the Patriots shouldn't have any problems. But again, you've got to take care of business. Turnovers in the NFL, turnovers in football, period, but in the NFL are the great equalizer. That can take the worst team in the world and turn them into a championship beater if the other team leaves the ball on the ground or picks it off in the air. It's that simple. I mean, there are some games in college football and some games, I think, Eric, in the past in the NFL, where you could say, okay, you've got a 1-10 team like the Indianapolis Colts. Let's say, let's just take them, for instance, this year, just because I like kind of rubbing it in. But let's take them this year. And let's go back about 10 to 15 years. And let's take that Colts team at 1-10 and let's put them up against, let's go back a little further. Let's go back almost 20 years. Let's put them up against the early 90s Dallas Cowboys. Now, you telling me a 1-10 Colts team like that without a Manning, without somebody like that, has any kind of a puncher's chance against those Cowboy teams that were dominant in the mid 90s? No bleeping way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the league has become much more balanced from top to bottom, 1 to 32 in my estimation, over the last decade, let's say. And a lot of it is through the NFL's own doing. This is what they've brought us. We've talked about this all year long. Seems like we bring it up almost daily now in the program in terms of the whole offensive balance and how offense has taken over pro football. And it has, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. The only way it changes back is when the rules are changed to not favor the offense as much. Right? And mm-hmm. I in the second hour of the program yesterday, by the way, I'm going to digress just a second here. Second hour of the program yesterday, though, I came up with one rule, and I want to see what you think about this. I'm going to save this one for you because I know you were working in the second hour. You didn't hear this. There's one rule that can be made that can help balance things a little bit more that can it won't favor the defense, but what it will do is it'll give the defense a little bit more of a feeling of equity. Because right now I know most people who play defense, most people who talk defense, most people who long for defense and championship football and yada yada, you know, they crave this. There's one rule that the NFL can make, the competition committee can make right now, that will help even out the playing field, so to speak, a little bit. Do you know what that rule is?
The pass interference?
Yes!
Yeah.
Good man. All right. See, look, you're right. I'm telling you. See, the guy knows his stuff right here. All we need to do is just make the pass interference call 15 yards rather than spot foul.
The foul, yeah.
Now, I actually had an emailer come up with a great suggestion yesterday. Because what's then, if you make it 15 yards rather than a spot foul, mm-hmm. what's to keep defensive backs from out and out tackling receivers when they're beat? So what you do is you say very simple. It is the greater of the two. In other words, if it's a 40-yard play, you go half the distance, you make it a 20-yard penalty. Or if it's less than that, then you go 15. So whatever's the greater of the two, half the distance of the play or 15 yards, that's the penalty.
Okay.
That keeps you from throwing a 70-yard bomb, tackling the receiver, and it's a 70-yard penalty. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
What do you think about that?
I think I'd be in favor of an amendment to the pass interference rules as they currently are. I'd also like to see them cut back on the amount of times they call pass interference, because I think there's too much ticky-tack.
There's way too much
penalty calling in this league.
There's just way too much. I mean, defensive backs just can't get there. They can't touch a receiver anymore. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. And that rule has really strengthened itself over the course of the last decade, since the Patriots, you know, mugged the Rams receivers in Super Bowl 36.
Well, it was that, and then it was the Colts, because former GM Bill Polian, mm-hmm. or president, whatever the
mm-hmm.
hell he was,
mm-hmm.
Was on the competition committee, and famously was, pounding the desks up in the press box.
The press box here.
Complaining about the holding calls and the getting his receivers roughed up, and that's why we have the ticky-tack calls now against receivers.
Right.
Which, so if you combine those two, take away the ticky-tackness and have it be just, you know, let it be a judgment call for the refs. You can tell when a guy is really interfered with on a play and not, you know, just breathed on. And then use your 15-yard rule there. I'd be in favor of that.
Okay, that works. By the way, two updates from Syracuse. Zach sends me a Facebook message. He says, nothing but green grass here in Syracuse for the first time in my life.
Wow.
179 inches of snow last year.
Wow.
How about that? Oh, and got this one from our friend Mary Beth.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, she's from Syracuse too, right?
Yeah. She says, feel free to stop by her house. Good times.
John.
How about that?
How about it?
I know. So I wouldn't miss the game. Mary Beth, that's awesome, but I would have no way to get home.
For the game.
Yeah, for the game.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Well, she didn't specify.
Come on.
She's a big fan. You never know.
No. And she's right here. It is. It's John, feel free to stop at my house to watch the game. Good times.
Oh, okay.
I bet it is. I bet it is. But it is a good time. But unfortunately,
you got to travel with the team. Yeah, you got to do it.
I know. So, got to travel with the team.
Should hook up Mary Beth with tickets to the game. Nah, she probably
she's too big a Patriots fan. I don't blame her, number one, but I believe Mary Beth is a season ticket holder. I know she goes to Syracuse football games.
Oh yeah,
I know. I don't know if you go to Syracuse basketball games too, Mary Beth. So, all right, if you're listening to the show, you can send me the response whenever you're up to it. There.
Well, that's a close, a really short turnaround from the last time they played Syracuse.
10 days.
Why did they do that?
They usually
like to spread them out a little bit more.
I don't know. She says she gave up her tickets for Saturday. Naturally, because she's going to stay and watch the Patriots game.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Good call, Mary Beth. Good call. I don't blame you at all. Well, I'll have it on DVR, so I'm okay with that. That's kind of what, you know, I'm talking a little bit about a puncher's chance, and that would certainly, I think, sort of lend to giving defenses a chance, I think, to feel like they've got a chance against some of these high-powered offenses that are out there.
Yeah.
And I think would help to level the playing field a little bit. And really, that, I think, would be a doable move for the NFL, because I'm sure they would feel like, now that they've sort of moved things in the direction that, the NFL is all-time popularity king here amongst all the professional sports in this country, that they could probably do that like Charles Bone to the defensive guys, you know?
Yeah, I just hate that it's become the NBA. The NFL has become the NBA when it comes to calling penalties.
I understand that. I understand that. There's too much. Yeah, it really does. The rules have grossly favored the offense, and that's not what I'm arguing. Someone said, "Oh, well, you love the game and you're purporting this and that." I said, "No. I'm just calling it as I see it. I'm trying to be impartial. I'm looking at it right down the middle of the field. The offenses have a gross advantage here. Huge advantage." Now, I'm as old school as they come, and you know it as well as anybody else from the time that we spent talking about football together for the 20 years or so that I've known you. But here's the thing.
Wow, it has been that long.
It has been a long time. Long time.
It really has.
I know. There's no way that the game is changing itself back unless the NFL wants to change it back.
No, and there's no outcry from the fans that they want it changed back.
No, nobody says, oh, we need to have championship defense. Nobody says that.
No, people love scoring in this country.
Yes.
That's why
soccer sucks.
Has taken on
yes.
a long time to that's become popular here.
That's exactly right, with all due respect to our own soccer franchise here, which I work for. There's just no way. There's no way that people ever get to it like football because there's just not enough scoring opportunities. Ain't happening. So that's just who we are. It's our culture here. You need to have action. You need to be entertained. It's the Xboxification of the American culture.
For better or worse.
For better or for worse. It's what we have. But I think this is, like I said, one small bone that you can throw to defensive guys and say, all right, you know what? We're going to give defensive backs an opportunity to compete. You know, and we're going to loosen just slightly the pass interference rule. You know,
yeah.
Still call the hand chuck, still call the beyond 5 yards, you know, where you can't touch a guy, which, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with. But, you know, come on. It's just a killer for your defense if, you know, because your defensive backs are already at a disadvantage. And if they get beat the way that the offensives now are set up and they get burned for a 50 or 60 yard penalty, a pass interference penalty, you know, it's just, that's hardly fair. And, you know, and of course these guys now, I mean, hey, they play these positions. They don't necessarily have to play these positions, but I think you're putting too much of a burden on your defensive backfield. And I think the Patriots have learned that this year. I think the Patriots have realized that, you know what, we're undermanned back here. We've got to do some things to try to adjust. And they've spent all season trying to adjust. And the answer to that is you've got to be physical. You've got to provide multiple looks. You've got to do what you can to confuse the opposing quarterback. You can't stay in a base defense. You've got to come at different angles. You've got to create different fronts. You have to give your defensive backs an extra second or two to make a play. That means you've got to emphasize pass rush. And I think these are all things that we all know. But as you and I were talking right before the show began today, this is why I kind of like the Giants this weekend over Green Bay. And with all due respect to the tragedy that's unfolded in Green Bay with the offensive coordinator's son passing this week, I kind of like the Giants beforehand because I think their pass rush is hitting on all cylinders right now. And I think if Eli can keep that team from, you know, turning itself over as it has done in the past, mm-hmm. then I think the Giants are right there. They're right there, and they've got more than a puncher's chance this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of am in the same line of thinking as you on that game. I haven't decided if I'm going to pick the Giants yet, but I'm
picking the Giants.
Considering it.
I am picking the Giants. Not that I would pick those games anyway, but I know we're going to pick some for tomorrow, especially with when we have Russell Baxter on the program. But I am going to take the Giants this weekend, and it's nothing more than a pure gut instinct. I mean, will it surprise me if Green Bay wins? Not in the least. Am I rooting for Green Bay? Not necessarily. Am I rooting for the Giants? Not necessarily. This is just a real strong, like, you know, based on what I saw last week against Atlanta, instinct. I mean, I thought that the Giants just whacked Atlanta in the head.
Yeah.
And they were relentless about it. And the Giant offense didn't exactly thrill me, but they did just enough to win. And so I'm thinking, you know, if they get old Brandon Jacobs rolling here a little bit, and, I think Hakeem Nicks is becoming an outstanding receiver. In the year that Victor Cruz has had, I mean, they've got short game, they've got close game, they've got the speed game. They've got it all. They've got all the ingredients they need. They really do. And as a fan, I am rooting for Pat's Giants in the Super Bowl. I am rooting for it. I will openly root for that. If the Giants can get past this weekend and the Patriots can get past this weekend and those two teams are in their respective conference championships, I am going to openly next week root for a rematch of 07 or the 08 Super Bowl.
Wow.
I'm going to openly root for it.
Boy, that's...
Come on. How great would that be, though? How great would that be? What a great story.
It would be great if
you
the
would,
Patriots
you would have no sleep because of all
them.
The stuff that well of course.
It would not be great if
yeah, but then now you're really talking about, you know, furthering the whole New York New England thing if the Giants somehow won that in the Super Bowl, which they could. which they could.
I can't. Even
I just like
about
rivalry.
That.
Okay, forgive me, but I think college football is shooting itself in the foot. They're pulling a Plexico Burris here, and they're shooting themselves in the foot because of all these, you know, teams that are going off to other conferences, and they're crapping all over 100-year rivalries. And I'm not just talking about Texas, Texas A&M. How about Missouri, Kansas? Holy crap, that's going out the window. Never to be played again. What are these people thinking and doing? It's a tragedy. That rivalry is gone since the Civil War, for God's sake. Come on, really? What are we trashing here for a buck? We're trashing what has helped make us who we are as a society. We're crapping all over it for a buck.
I know.
That's distasteful.
I'm preaching to the choir here, my friend.
It's distasteful. It's wrong. And somebody needs to say it's wrong.
Well, we've been saying it, but it's the problem. The people who are making those decisions need to get out.
Well, the people at University of Missouri, the people at Texas A&M, the people at Pittsburgh, the people at Syracuse, wrong! All of it wrong. By the way, there's a huge groundswell among Syracuse alums to not leave the Big East.
Can that still happen?
I don't know. I think it would take an unbelievable amount of forgiveness, if not cash, for the Big East to take them back. But you know what?
I would if I were the Big East.
There's no question. Oh, there's no question. I think the Big East would. I'd love to see it. I would absolutely love to see it. Syracuse belongs in the Big East Conference. They were a founder.
Yeah.
Their school chancellor and their athletic director are two complete idiots. The chancellor is from Illinois. The athletic director is from California. Now, what does that tell you? They're friggin' carpetbaggers. That's what it should tell you. And they are. And they care crap one about the 30 years, almost 35 years of history that they just, you know, bleeped all over. You know, they helped establish something that's helped establish their identity. Syracuse is who they are because of Jake Krauthammel and Dave Gavitt in the Big East. And now they've wet hosed all over it. So we don't need you anymore. We're going to go for a buck. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. And even though they have an unbelievable powerhouse basketball team this year, Syracuse can't lose enough for me. It ain't happening in basketball, though. I wrote in my column last week for Go Local Prov, I think that Syracuse challenges Indiana's 1976 32-0.
Really?
Yes, I do. I do. You heard it here first.
Wow.
I think they're that good. If Syracuse basketball loses a game this year, it's because of one of two things. Number one, they got bored. Or number two, somebody got incredibly lucky. Like, you know, shot 8 for 8 from three-point range and you just couldn't stop them, which can happen.
The Friars hung with them last week.
They did.
For a long time.
They did. But they still couldn't do it. I mean, it would take a performance like Providence had last night, coupled with Syracuse not giving a crap. That might beat them. But it's going to take that kind of a special mix for this Syracuse team to lose this year. That's how special I think this Syracuse team is. So if you get a chance to watch the Orange play basketball this year, you need to. Even if you're not really a basketball fan, you need to. Because that could be a history-making team. I'm telling you.
Wow. All right.
I'm calling it.
No, all right. I believe you.
So, God, I like how we've flown all over the place today. This is awesome. All right, we haven't even gotten to the phones and everything. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email the show, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the request. We'll fulfill that, and then you can chat and post and message and everything you like to do. The Twitter page, follow me on Twitter, at J Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At J Rook, 0722. The question I have for you today, though, is, do the Broncos have a puncher's chance or not? And why? We'll discuss that and continue that coming up in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Coming up in just a couple of moments, Brandon Crystal from Denver's 104.3 The Fan on punchers' chances. I don't know how you feel about it. I said a little bit earlier here. There's no question in my mind, Denver has that. But it has to break out right for them. Have you started to sort of kind of get an idea in your own mind, Eric, where this game would have to either fail for the Patriots or succeed for the Broncos to not only, A, make a game of it, but actually move on to the AFC Championship?
You're trying to get me to make my pick before tomorrow. That's what you're trying. Uh-huh. That's what you're doing.
You're a shrewd son of a gun. No, I don't have to give any scores. I didn't say you have to give any scores, but just tell me how you're kind of looking at it.
I don't see how there's any chance that the team that I'm going to pick to lose can win.
Okay, so you. Wow. So you don't even give Denver a puncher's chance. That's what you're saying.
I didn't say that.
Come on, dude. Really? aren't going the other way with this.
I might actually have to give my pick today because locker room access tomorrow, I think, is going to interfere with my first hour of the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do they move access again tomorrow?
Yeah. It goes into the 2 o'clock hour, but I'm not sure how far it's going to go yet.
So you may be joining us late, is what
you're
saying?
Maybe joining you
possibly?
Late, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get some thoughts then of Brandon Crystal, who covers the Broncos for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Brandon, it's John and Eric here in Foxborough. How's it going today?
Good, John. I think last time I talked to you, I was hanging out with Gottlieb either at the Final Four or you were in town for something, and we were talking about your Longhorns, but you're good in Denver.
Oh, my.
A little snowy.
Oh, my God. That's right. I do remember that. How the heck are you?
I'm good, man. You know, I'm all Tim Tebow all the time. So.
Well, that's what we got. That's why we wanted to talk to you, because quite frankly, I think we all realize that this has sort of become a cultural phenomenon unto itself. So with that concern here, you know, from a New England perspective, and I'm sure you can probably understand it from this angle, Patriots fans are trying to figure out ways that they could possibly lose this game. And that's with all due respect to the Broncos. But when you go on the road and you look at this on paper, which is really all we have to go on, it was an 18-point win in Denver. Now this venue is being moved to Foxborough. The Patriots have had a week to prepare. Denver had to go and get involved in an overtime game, you know, emotional, physical, what have you, with a Pittsburgh team that nobody really gave them a shot against, and yet they came out with a win. So we want the Denver perspective. We want a Tebow perspective. Where is Denver's best chance going to lie here?
Well, I think Tim Tebow has to continue what he was doing the other day and kind of throw caution to the wind, which I know seems silly. Quarterback should just do what he did. But based on how conservative he's been and how, you know, reluctant he is to throw the ball at times, I think that it was pretty surprising to see him do that, especially against a defense as formidable as the Steelers. I realize they were banged up, but still Dick LeBeau. And I heard somebody say the other day, with all apologies to the Patriots, that most of the second-teamers on the Steelers are better than a lot of the first-teamers on the Patriots, at least defensively, when it comes to the pass game. So I think that for them to have a chance, Tebow's going to have to do more of the same. He's going to have to hit intermediate routes. He's going to have to hit underneath stuff and obviously hit some stuff up top. And the biggest thing is just not turn it over, which is what we saw in the second quarter when the Patriots were out here a month ago, and then, you know, the wheels fell off, and I think that was all she wrote.
Well, I think you're spot on, and we have talked about that, but what we thought the whole key here was turnovers, because the way that Denver was punching the Patriots in the mouth early in that game, the turnovers just changed the entire course of the game. So we're wondering and actually suspecting that Denver might try to come back out and do largely what they did a month ago, because they had such wild success with it.
Yeah, I mean, when you run the ball for 166 yards in the first quarter, you can just protect it. And put up 166 yards in every quarter, you'll probably win. Now, do I expect them to do that? Probably not. They lose, in my opinion, their best offensive lineman in Chris Cooper, who went down in the Kansas City game, ripped up his ankle pretty bad, and is going to be done for a while. He's still a starter next season. But they insert Russ Hochstein, a guy that obviously Patriots fans are familiar with. And I'd be curious to see how Russ has played his best football already. But how he and the likes of Vince Wilfork fared against each other day in, day out in practice. You got to figure that they know each other's tendencies, but I think you'd rather have somebody that's at least gone against Wilfork a fair amount and those guys up front to some degree versus just, you know, throwing a rookie in there, an inexperienced guy. So can they establish the ground game again? How healthy is Willis McGahee, although he's left during that Patriots game and Lance Ball picked up the slack? And then how well can Tebow mix in his runs with the passes? But like I said, 166 yards a quarter, and I feel good about the Broncos' chance.
Well, the other side of that, Brandon, too, is the Patriots adjusted very well in that game to that rushing attack. They went from their standard base 4-3 to a 3-4. They widened their splits. They tightened up on the outside so that Tebow and the other running backs couldn't get the edge. They were forced more into the middle, which is the strength of New England's defense. I'm curious to see how New England comes out this Saturday. I'm guessing they're going to come out more 3-4 again because, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the game plan and the way the game goes will dictate it. But yeah, I agree that it was easy to see the adjustments they made. I think in order to counter that, the Broncos need to be able to get something going, not just between the tackles, but maybe on the edge, which is where they've probably lacked a consistent production in terms of from their running backs, or even I realize Tebow runs it to the side plenty, especially to the left side. But consistently, after Knowshon Moreno went out and they basically ditched that, you know, they'll run some toss sweeps here and there. And they got a kid, Jeremiah Johnson, who's a young guy out of Oregon, who's got some pretty good quickness, pretty good speed, but they just don't give him the ball enough. But Lance Ball and Willis McGahee aren't really going to hit it outside the way, you know, a Ray Rice would or somebody like that. And so I think that they're going to have to do that to keep the Patriots honest. But if they don't, they could have some trouble. You talk about making adjustments. I don't know if there's anybody in the history of football that's better at it than Bill Belichick. The real question will be, will the Broncos, again, be able to protect the ball, and will they be able to run enough variations to their offense to keep the defense kind of guessing? Because you know that Bill Belichick will have Tim Tebow guessing all day as well.
Brandon Crystal, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, joining us here inside the playbook. So how are Denver fans treating this? Is this sort of like icing on the cake, or are there realistic expectations for them to perhaps continue on past this week, do you think?
Well, the mood is been interesting over the last month, really, because the I don't take you all the way back to the week leading up to the Patriots game. I had said, because it was coming off the Bears win, and I was at a charity event that one of the players did here, and Tebow was at that, and I made the point around here to a bunch of people on air and off air that this could be the best week of Tim Tebow's life, because who knows what's going to happen with the Patriots game, and it could go downhill, and all of a sudden I look like a prophet because he has, you know, three games where he lays an egg. And I was like, wow, that really was the best week to beat Tim Tebow in Denver. And so, that you know, they back into the playoffs. He plays like crap against the Chiefs. And so you're wondering, okay, in a lot of ways, early last week, it felt like the Steelers game was just the 17th game on the schedule. It wasn't a chance to move on. It was, okay, let's get this over with and then figure out what we're going to do in the draft and what our offseason is going to be and this and that. Well, all of a sudden he comes out, plays the way he does, the team responds, and to get a win over the defending AFC champs is pretty huge. And now you definitely are reading and hearing what's coming out of Boston, and based on what we saw a month ago and the line set in Vegas and all that, you know, the Broncos went from being, and Broncos fans especially, from being, you know, in that mindset like I just mentioned where it felt like it was a 17th game to, hey, we can go in, and if this kid plays anywhere close to what he played the other day and the defense can find a way to get to Tom Brady, which I realized they really didn't do hardly at all. I know Elvis Dumervil got to him once, and Von Miller hit him after a fumble, but
right. In general,
I mean, Brady was pretty clean all day, so they can figure out a way to do that. And I talked to Champ Bailey yesterday, and he said the biggest thing was that they didn't cover guys. And I think that's obvious going back and looking at the tape, the way Aaron Hernandez and even Gronkowski were able to just get open, but especially Aaron Hernandez. And I think Chris Harris, the rookie out of Kansas, the undrafted nickelback, did a pretty good job on Wes Welker. I realize Wes got into the end zone, but I think he only had four catches, and it wasn't like he was lighting them up the way Hernandez did.
Yeah.
So I think that they just have to cover. But there are people here that are optimistic, and look, it's the playoffs. You guys have seen, I mean, you saw when the Patriots 18-0, and it was a foregone conclusion they were going to go undefeated and beat the Giants, and all of a sudden they went out and played the game, and
right. We
know how it ended. So
right.
I think there's some cautious optimism.
Yeah. How about Brian Dawkins? I understand he was back at practice today. What, do you have any update on his status?
I think that's a bit inaccurate. I mean, I don't know what Mike Kliss said earlier. He was out there, but he didn't have a helmet on.
Gotcha.
And they weren't wearing any pads, but he was out there, and he almost looked like he was lined up as a coach, not lined up as a safety.
Interesting.
I mean, he's maybe a little more active than just a regular coach, but he didn't have a helmet, and I can't think that if he's the one guy without a helmet, that helps his chances, because he comes out dressed in practice gear every day. He's wearing sweats, he's wearing his jersey, but he doesn't have a helmet, and they haven't gone in pads all week, so last week it was a little more obvious, the one day that they went in pads, he didn't have pads on. From what I've heard, his career may be done based on the fact he's 38 years old, and just like we're seeing with Peyton Manning, who obviously a neck is serious, this is a neck injury that it may be more severe and maybe too much for even a warrior like Brian Dawkins to come back from. The biggest thing, though, is he went out in that Patriots game, and there was a rookie, Raheem Moore, who just didn't know what he was doing. He's been lost all year. The kid that was good at UCLA, and it was a ball hawk, but just hadn't figured it out here, and he got thrust into action, and the communication breakdowns were across the board. Champ Bailey put some of that on himself and on Andre Goodman as well, in that the veterans have to help those young guys. So they've corrected that to some degree, and they've inserted David Bruton, who's a third-year guy out of Notre Dame, who's smart, just a smart kid in life and a pretty smart football player. And so the communication has improved pretty significantly from what you saw a week ago. And so I think it's on everybody. I mean, Dawkins was dealing with getting back in the game against the Patriots and just could never do it. Whereas the last few weeks, he's had to be an assistant coach. And Champ told me yesterday that minus not having him on the field, he's been great the last few weeks, making sure that everybody is as close to being on the same page as they can, obviously without him being out there.
Right. I just wonder, you know, Hernandez, as we mentioned, had the big game against Denver last time. They kind of took Gronk out of things. I don't foresee that happening again, being able to, you know, limit Gronkowski. And if they do, you still have Welker, you still have Hernandez. Don't forget about Deion Branch, because I think he can still hurt you if you sleep on him. He's still capable of getting 100 yards.
I think he'll score a touchdown. His only touchdown came against
the Broncos.
So.
That's right.
I just wonder, Brandon, how no matter who they put out there to cover, I think New England has maybe more weapons than Denver can defend, unless they can get to Tom Brady.
Right, right, and that's a big if, but and that's probably just the same for every team. And look at the two games that I paid the most attention to as a kid that grew up a Cowboys fan. Huh. I thought the Cowboys dialed up a pretty good defense, and obviously the Giants. I saw that game. The Giants won, so. If you can figure out a way to get to them, I think that's any team, and the Broncos aren't an exception to that. I do think, it seems pretty basic, but Champ's right. If they cover a little better, then Hernandez probably isn't running wide open. At the same time, I think they're going to keep Chris Harris on Wes Welker and hope that he can keep him around four catches. And I think you'll see Champ on Hernandez maybe a little bit more, and they'll figure out what to do with the other wideouts, maybe with Andre Goodman and whoever else is in there. I think you'll see more nickel and dime, mainly more dime with more safeties than linebackers. There's a kid, Raphael Bush, that played a bunch against the Steelers that hadn't hardly played at all except on special teams, came in kind of mid-year. And last week was his first game action that he saw, in-game on the defensive side of the ball. So he's a kid number 36. He's a real big, thick kid. I wouldn't be surprised if the linebackers that they had underneath on Gronkowski, that now becomes a role taken over by Raphael Bush. And then you'll still see the safety help over the top with David Bruton, who I mentioned, and the other rookie, Quentin Carter, the strong safety out of Oklahoma, who's had a pretty good second half of the season. So I agree. I mean, look, it's a pretty dynamic offense, and you're going to have to kind of pick your poison because we haven't even talked about what the backs could do out of the backfield, too, as well, if they can get involved in the pass game, which I know is a factor or can be. So, look, there's a reason why Patriots fans should feel confident about this game. I mean, they're the number one overall seed in the AFC for a reason. But at the same time, I mean, the Broncos get paid too, and they're going to show up and hopefully for Broncos fans' sake and for the sake of their players, that they're a little more dialed in defensively than they were last game.
No doubt. Let me kind of throw a big picture one out for you here, Brandon, before we wrap this up. Obviously there's been an incredible amount of hype surrounding the Broncos and their season, and a lot of that is because of Tim Tebow. Do you feel like Tebow, the hype around his existence, his quarterbacking skills, his aura that he's carrying, is the hype justified?
Is any hype like this for anyone ever really justified? I mean, we don't see it too often for individuals, especially ones that haven't done anything at the level they're at. I've compared it a little bit to Tiger Woods, except that Tiger did fulfill the expectations very early. And he didn't represent a team in a city. He represented himself And LeBron James, I mean, say what you want about the decision and all that, but when he got to Cleveland as an Ohio kid and right from the get-go is putting up all-star numbers, you could say that LeBron kind of lived up to the hype. But has Tim Tebow done enough to warrant this hype? Probably not. I mean, obviously he was a phenomenal college player in terms of what he did on the field and how he helped Florida win two national championships, and he won a Heisman and was a finalist for another two. But he's an extremely nice kid. I can't say a bad thing about him. It seems legitimate. I've now been around him almost 2 years. I can't find any flaws in his character at all. Not that I want to by any means, but I think that's sort of, we just expect that in human nature. You expect there to be some skeletons in the closet. We know about the religion thing. Obviously, all the stuff he does with his foundation and, you know, injured kids, sick kids, underprivileged kids. But, yeah, to answer your question, is it warranted? I don't know. If he keeps having performances like he had on Sunday, then all of a sudden maybe it will be. And if they figure out a way to win in New England and then they're one game away from the Super Bowl, all bets are off.
Well, we appreciate you giving us some insight, some good information here. Obviously, we know it's going to be entertaining simply because of the fact that you've got a guy, a personality like Tim Tebow against a personality like Tom Brady, a quarterback, and you got great storylines that are set up. Josh McDaniels, that whole thing. Although I can't imagine that the Broncos are terribly concerned with Josh McDaniels coming in, are they?
No, and John Fox is an interesting dude to be around. He's similar to Bill Belichick in that he doesn't say anything, but he does it with a smile, and I know it seems like the littlest thing, but I've talked to plenty of people that have been around Bill Belichick and people that know him behind the scenes a little bit and know him back from his Giants days even, and they said that he's got a great sense of humor. I think we saw a little bit of that, you know, from the outside on that NFL Network special, but I think a lot of times he's playing the character of the boring, stoic coach that isn't going to give you anything because he's that smart and he can pull it off. Well, Fox is a pretty smart guy, too, and he just does it with a smile. But talking about McDaniels, he's like, look, there are players that know more about us than Josh does at this point. Sure, he knows some of the personnel, but he hasn't been paying attention to what we've been doing. I mean, I made the point to Fox that Kyle Orton probably had a better handle on what was going on here in terms of on the defensive side of the ball. Or you could argue Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, based on what they did a month ago, understand what's going on defensively. And Fox brought up the point today to us before practice, a couple of us he's talking to on the side, that look, Romeo Crennel probably is more valuable to Bill Belichick right now than Josh is in terms of understanding this team. And he goes, and don't think, how do you know I didn't call Rex Ryan and talk to him a little bit?
Yeah.
So Foxy gave us that nugget that, all right, maybe he picked up the phone and in the midst of all the controversy with the Jets off the field that I'm sure Rex didn't mind taking a phone call from an old friend to try to help him figure out a way to maybe stick it to Bill Belichick.
Stick it to the Patriots. Yeah, exactly. I appreciate
it. So I don't know if that means if they beat him, if that means that Rex gets a playoff share or something. But
no, he just asked him if he could go get a snack with him afterwards.
Yeah, there you go. So, but thanks for having me, guys. And who knows? It should be pretty fun on Saturday night, one way or the other.
I would think so, one way or the other. Brandon, thanks for the knowledge. Sure, appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, good to
talk
to you.
Take care, Brandon.
Brandon Crystal, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, joining us here in the playbook. All right, I don't want to leave this guy hanging anymore. Brooklyn Matt, what's on your mind, Brooklyn Matt?
It's me, Brooklyn Matt. What's going on, guys?
How are you doing, buddy?
How are you?
That guy from Denver said it's hard to find flaws in character in Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to find a lot of flaws in character in my phone call today. I just want to give a shout-out to Olivier. I wonder where he's been.
Yeah, where has Olivier been? We haven't heard from him this week yet.
I miss the accent.
I hope he's busy making those Belgian waffles again.
Oh, God. We really do have to get those. Didn't he promise us some?
He said he'd get us a second batch, yeah.
Oh.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
What's up, Brooklyn Matt?
Not much. Hey, John, you talk about this girl from Syracuse invited you over her house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
feel slighted. You were right down the street from me last week at St. John's in Queens.
Well, I didn't know that, though, Matt. I did not have any idea that you lived that close.
And you didn't even tell anybody that you were coming down.
I'm sorry.
You could have came over.
Brooklyn, Matt, I think, in fairness here, I think Mary Beth has something that she could give John that you don't.
Well, this is what I have to offer. John, we could have gotten on the rickety subway.
Yeah.
Gone right over to my street, come up out of the subway stairs, walked by the vacant lots, stepped over the passed out winos, and avoided the siren songs of the hookers hanging out on my front step. We went up the stairs into my apartment, and we could have made forts out of blankets, and we could have told scary stories to each other and made hot chocolate. And at the end, right before we went to bed, we could have thrown old boots at the alley cats yelling on the back fence. Now, how does that sound?
You're scaring me.
Yeah, that's what it's like down here in Brooklyn. But John, you asked if the Patriots had a, if the Broncos had a puncher's chance against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Is that really a serious question, or are you just trying to make some conversation?
I'm just trying to make conversation, brother. That's what we do every day here.
Oh, I think it's a serious question. I think they seriously have a puncher's chance.
So do I, actually.
Oh, about the way the Patriots have opened up and fallen behind against not just the Dolphins or the Bills and the Broncos, but people don't talk about how they fell behind 10-0 to the Eagles.
Yep.
And I think the Broncos are going to come out with some tricks. I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink into this.
They have to. I actually think that's a good point. They have to, because they really have nothing to lose here. If they lose the game, everybody expected them to lose the game. So why not come out and throw a completely different look and wrinkle at the Patriots that the Patriots just flat out did not expect? To me, that makes more sense than anything else.
Well, it does, but I just... You know how the old adage about give Belichick an extra day or an extra week or whatever? He's had more than an extra day. And he's had an extra week and a day to prepare for this game. Obviously, they didn't know exactly who they were playing, but Denver coming off a Sunday night game, or it's already a short week because they have to play on Saturday, that's a tall order to ask of John Fox and his staff to try to come up with something completely different.
But why not continue the process like what we saw on that overtime pass, you know, to Demaryius Thomas? I mean, you know, you see those, you know, safety sneak up a little bit, bang, I'm calling the route over the middle.
As bad as this pass defense has been, I don't even see them putting 11 in the box against Denver.
Well, they didn't quite have 11 in the box.
They pretty much did. They did at the end.
It certainly looked like 9 in the box, I'll give you that. But I thought that the corners were playing back out of that thing a little bit. I think Thomas just ran a great route.
Mm. He did, but there was no safety.
Pretty wacky at some point in the game. And then you started talking about Green Bay and the Giants, and you wanted, you know, you guys want the Giants to...
Whoa, don't say you guys.
Well, somebody up there.
I did. I did. I'm taking the Giants.
Well, I can't stand Green Bay. I mean, somebody said they're the most popular team in, you know, in fandom, you know, lately. I don't know how anybody could like that team. There's nothing attractive about them.
I mean, the same about the Giants,
though. Area. I mean, people go back, oh, with such a rich tradition. That's from the 60s. I mean, that's been over forever. They had the ugly yellow and green uniforms.
Well, but Matt, they won a Super Bowl in the 90s. They won a Super Bowl in the 2000s. That's not just all the way going back to the 60s.
Yeah, right. I know they have four, but you don't hear anything about them unless they're way up at the top. And then with the Giants, like, I agree with you, Eric. You don't want a Giants-Patriots rematch.
No, because I don't think that plays well for New England.
Even if the Patriots won the Super Bowl, well, then the Giants fans get the gloat. Well, you didn't win when it really mattered.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not afraid of that.
It's not a revenge game. The Patriots will not get revenge by beating the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Not afraid of it. Bring it. Bring it all on.
The
Want Giants, the
Giants. I'm really afraid of it. And if the Giants won, I would have to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge.
All right, Matt, let me get your thoughts on Mark Sanchez. And the Daily News obviously had the story today about some of the players whining about Sanchez, how he's not prepared and such. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about that? I mean,
it's so true.
Yeah?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Joe Beningo was talking about it. Whenever I don't have Patriots.com on, I have WFAN on.
Of course.
And let me tell you, those stations up in Boston, EEI in the morning and in the afternoon, oh, my God, are they still talking about Red Sox?
Yeah, probably.
So I listened to WFAN, and, like, if I was watching the Jets-Dolphins game, the final game of the year, because, you know, I get it locally. I watch Pats on computer and, at the Jets on the regular TV, and it's like, well, Sanchez got hurt towards the end of the game. Well, he got, like, sacked, or he threw a costly pick, and he came off the field holding his throwing arm down at his side, and his shoulders were cockeyed, like he was wounded. And then the Dolphins turned the ball right back over to the Jets unexpectedly, and he had to go back in. And then all of a sudden he trots back on the field like there's nothing wrong with him. He is mentally weak. Whenever he fails at something and makes a bad play and there's a change of possession, I've seen him faking injuries to play the sympathy card when he's running back to the staff on the sideline.
Okay.
They're talking the guy has a weak psyche. He doesn't have the mental makeup an NFL quarterback.
If the players are, calling him out, and I saw Herm Edwards talk about this on ESPN earlier today. Herm is right. Put your damn name to it, okay? All this anonymous stuff is only going to hurt things, and this is what, where Rex Ryan has to step up and has to say, enough, fellas, because it's his responsibility to make sure that everybody's pulling together. That's part of the reason the Jets failed miserably toward the end of the year. And so shame on some of the players involved if they didn't do their part in that locker room to make sure that everybody's pulling their own weight.
It's a terrible psychological locker room. It's like an asylum.
Well, yeah, I believe that. Now, let me ask you the ultimate question here, because I'm going to kind of toss this out for our second hour here. Mm-hmm. All things being equal, who's the biggest winner, and who would you rather have, Tim Tebow or Mark Sanchez?
Oh, I never even thought of that question before.
But take both of those quarterbacks on the level right now as they presently stand.
I'm going to have to say Sanchez. You're going to have to send him through some Freudian therapy, some heavy-duty stuff.
But Tebow. He
has more natural ability than Tebow does. I think Tebow's playing to the fullest of his abilities, and I don't think Mark Sanchez is. And I think you could do something with Sanchez, but I think you can't wring anything else out of Tebow.
I have to disagree with you, Matt. I think Tebow's best days are yet to come.
Really?
And secondly, you can't teach leadership. And Tebow has that. Sanchez clearly does not.
Well, I would argue then, what has Sanchez done the last 2 years? He's taken his team to the AFC Championship.
I think you can argue.
How's that not leadership?
I think you can argue that his defense helped him get to the AFC Championship.
That's a good question for the second hour. Before I leave,
yeah.
I want to say, last year, after the Patriots lost to the Jets, Pete Shepard didn't show up. He abandoned us the Tuesday after.
He showed up here today, though.
He's got a tie on. He means business today.
If the unthinkable happens on Sunday night, God forbid, I need Pete to show up to work on Tuesday. And if he doesn't, I'm going to search out where he lives. I'm going to knock on his front door, and I'm going to insist that he give me a private 2-hour show, and I'm going to sit down Indian style in his living room, and he can go get a spoon out of the kitchen and use it for a fake microphone.
Wait, you're going to pinch a tent on his front lawn? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Hold on, Brooklyn Matt.
No, Matt, it's me. I'm in the other room just doing some prep work. But I honestly, last year I had a death in my family, which is why I didn't come in.
Honestly,
well, I'm just saying. Now, and last year, remember, last year I only had one show a week. This year I have 3 days a week. So trust me, unless there's like a 60-foot blizzard, I'll be here. Win, lose, or draw, I will be here, my friend.
Thank God. And I hope Tyrone calls in, because that is appointment listening radio when you two go.
Well, I think he's up. I think he's up next with John. So
Matt turning into Nostradamus over here.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, Matt.
Stay out of the park.
Yeah, really, there you go. All right, before we get to Tyrone here, I got to get a quick practice update today, Eric, before we let you go.
Couldn't give perfect attendance again 2 days in a row, sadly. Kyle Love was not there. Reasons unknown. Twitter was a little active with that today, with his wife saying pray for him, and then people tweeting back to her, what's the matter? And she said, no, he's fine. So something fishy going on there. It could be something family related, maybe not injury related. We'll find out hopefully in about an hour.
Okay.
When we really get an injury report, which we didn't get yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I went, that was just pet peeve about that.
Yeah, I know.
So
it is
what it is. That was pretty much it. He was the only one, though.
Only one gone.
Only one gone, yeah.
Okay.
So they're relatively, not relative, they're as healthy as you can be going into this time of year.
By the way, Dave in North Park sends this note. How drunk is Brooklyn Matt?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
I got to go right on that note.
See ya. Oh, my goodness. All right. Since he's been good enough to hang on before we get to a break, Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're awesome today. What's up with you?
Hey, well, you know, it is what it is. You know, I got a bad feeling about this game. But before I get to that, right, this, you guys don't understand how hard it is to be a Patriots fan outside of Boston, outside of New England area. Man, I got my hat outside, my Patriots hat outside in the car, you know, in the window.
Yep.
And, man, I had somebody this morning while I'm driving to work roll out the window and said them Patriots are cheaters. And I'm like, and I have my little girl with me, and she don't understand because she's five. And it's like, man, it's rough for me. I got a lot of pressure. So I'm hoping we win this game because I can't come into work.
I feel your pain.
Right now, that's how much pressure I'm under.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain. So you wouldn't necessarily then be in favor of, say, a potential Pats-Giants rematch?
You know, I need that one because I still can't get over the 07 loss.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I still get heckled to this day about that 07 loss.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, Tyrone. I share you on that one. So I'm willing to put it out there on the line again as a Patriots fan, put my guts, my heart, everything out on the line again for another opportunity. And I realize it won't make up. It won't make up for that loss, but what it will do is salve some of the wound.
A little bit.
Yes. Allow you to heal. That's correct.
I don't mind that one. As a matter of fact, I'm predicting also that the Giants will beat the Packers. It's almost reminiscent of 07, don't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Winners.
A little bit.
Oh, with the Giants and the Packers? Oh.
I agree. I agree with you. I think you're dead on. I agree with that.
Anyway, what I want to talk about, right, because I still got a bad feeling, right? I got a bad feeling. The person, I guess he was from Denver, I guess.
Yes.
Just had on.
Yes.
Not prior.
Yes.
And he was saying about, because I was thinking last night that the Broncos will probably put Bailey and Hernandez all just one-on-one coverage. And that kind of concerns me a little bit because, you know, we've been getting these little slow starts. And I think Eric had mentioned that Deion Branch could hurt him. But you guys really think Deion Branch is the answer? Because I'm looking at the games because I got NFL Sunday tickets, so I can watch the game. And whenever Deion Branch in a game, to me, that's when we fell in the hole, especially one in Buffalo, where we played Buffalo. Deion Branch was in, we were running a little hole, then he was out, and then we started clicking. I don't know, you guys see the same thing, or I'm just crazy here?
No, I don't think you're crazy, and I don't know that Deion Branch is necessarily the answer, as you put it.
What we
do think, though, is that it provides the Patriots with enough receiving depth to where it's going to be a very difficult matchup for any defense that they would have left on the schedule to play, and that's including Baltimore, in my opinion. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's so much focus on Welker Gronkowski or Gronkowski Welker, take your pick here, that Deion Branch has become an afterthought. And let's not forget that Deion Branch is probably Tom Brady's favorite amongst all of them because they've got that little thing going on between them. So don't sleep on Deion, because if the Broncos are caught sleeping on him and if the Patriots are fortunate enough to win the game this Saturday, whoever plays next week, if they sleep on Deion, Deion can burn you. He's still got enough left in him to burn you. And I think that is sort of where the Patriots have an ace in the hole. I really do.
I like Deion. Don't get me wrong. I like Deion Branch. I like him, especially in the 05, 03, I mean 03, 04. I liked him. You know, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he have it left. And we better.
He's being used differently, though, Tyrone. He's being used differently than he was back then. Back then, he was expected to be a number one guy. He's not the number one guy. He's barely the number three or four guy. Barely. Which can make him more effective in my mind.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I'm gonna be honest with you. Well, back earlier in the season, I thought Chad Ochocinco was done also, but I think he still got a lot left in the tank. I don't see why we're not using him, even though he don't know the playbook.
He does know the playbook, and they are using him a little bit more, but they're never going to open up the playbook and say, Chad, you're our go-to guy. He's behind the pecking order. He's behind Deion. but he's still capable. I don't know how much life he has left in the legs.
He got more than Deion right now.
I would respectively disagree. I do believe that based on what I've seen, I think Deion's got a little bit more quickness. I think he's got a little bit more foot speed, and I certainly think that he's got more of a karma thing going with Tom Brady than Ocho Cinco ever dreamed of having. But that's okay because he's got a history with Tom as opposed to the history that Chad does not have with him. So I don't really think that it's a factor. I think the two guys can actually complement each other and provide enough of a threat to where the defense is going to have to at least play them honestly. If you cheat on one, the other is still capable of burning you. And I think that's the ace in the hole that the Patriots really have.
Well, I think that's going to be the key to the whole game is because I really think, my opinion, because this is the playoffs, and when the playoffs, you know, start, it's like we always know teams take it to our next level.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this feeling that whoever is guarding Hernandez, they're going to lock him up. And I think we're going to struggle, especially, you know, we've been struggling for the last couple of weeks, especially early in the game. And, you know, and to be honest with you, I'm not really down on the defense. I think the defense will play well, but I just hope our offense don't get one of them funks where we struggle and we got to start off fast right off the jet. And let's keep it going.
I'd love to see us.
You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Tyrone. Appreciate that. I would love to see us take the opening kickoff. You win the coin toss, take the kickoff, not defer. I realize that's not going to happen. But I would love to see the Patriots do that and give the defense maybe a cushion to start with. See them roll on Denver and get up 7-0. I bet the Patriot defense plays differently, if not better. If not better. All right, we're well into the second hour of the program, but I want to ask this question of you, as we just talked about with Eric and Tyrone and Brooklyn Matt and Brandon Crystal from Denver. All things being equal, considering now what's out there about Mark Sanchez and some New York Jets players saying that he's kind of, you know, been lazy and he hasn't done his due diligence and he hasn't been the kind of leader that they want him to have. And they're openly, some of them, begging the Jets organization to go out and get Peyton Manning. All things being equal, who would you rather have as your quarterback, Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow? Love to hear your answers. Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Or hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. We continue right here inside the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Yeah,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of a Ryzen 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. Pats, Broncos. 8 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on Saturday night here at Gillette Stadium. Question for you as it now stands, though, concerning quarterbacks. What would you rather have running your – who would you rather have running your football team? Mark Sanchez, who is now being accused of not doing everything that he should be doing, not preparing properly, maybe even being lazy, dare I say. Some unnamed teammates are throwing him under the bus as the Jets seem to be all sorts and in tatters now. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer now is gone. He's decided not to come back for next year. He's probably asked to leave. Tony Sperano moving from the head coaching position at Miami now to the offensive coordinator spot of the New York Jets. Great. Bring him on. I think it's great. Adds to more intrigue here. Anything we can do to spice up things within the division, because quite frankly, I think we all know the Pats own the division. They own it. And there's nothing, anything that any of those teams can do about it right now. And that'll be a conversation for next year. Not now. Not now. You got to push forward. Can't look behind because we're not through with this year yet. But it adds to some of the intrigue, without a doubt. Adds to a lot of the intrigue. So I want to, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of if you had to make a choice, who would you choose at quarterback? Let's go to Dante in North Carolina. Hey, Dante, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today, man?
Awesome.
That's good. To answer your question, man, the topic of the day, I think I'd go with, I'd probably go with Tebow, man.
Would you? Why?
Yeah, for one, a man can't lose. If he got God, Jesus Christ on his side, man, he can't lose no way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but that doesn't mean that Sanchez doesn't have him on his side.
Yeah.
He's just not out there with it, maybe like Tebow is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But from what I'm seeing on TV, this dude got a pretty good work ethic and everything. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm going by what I'm seeing on TV.
Okay, I don't think that can be argued. I would agree with that. But do we really know other than what some unnamed Jets players are saying? I mean, what if somebody just has a grudge to pick on Sanchez because he didn't throw him the ball?
Yeah, you're right about that. Quite honest, I really don't care. I'm glad they got turmoil over there in the Jets because I can't stand them no way, man.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm loving it. I don't know about y'all because I'm loving every bit of it, man.
Well, the reason I asked the question is simply because, you know, for, you know, all the banging that Mark Sanchez has been taking, and a lot of it is deserved. Fact is that he certainly has, I would say, at least the resume that Tim Tebow has. I realize Tebow was a great, great college quarterback, and he had some great credentials in college. Yeah. But then Mark Sanchez, as a rookie and as a second-year pro, took his team to the AFC Championship games.
Yeah, you're right about that, but I forgot my man's name. He said it earlier. The defense took them there, man. I think the defense really did. I think they took them to them playoff games the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was so much Sanchez. The only thing he really did, he didn't turn the ball over. The only thing he really did is manage the game, man. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But before I leave, I want to ask y'all guys one question, man.
Go.
Do y'all think Belichick got something special like a zone and a one-man spot, something on Tebow center, and get our defensive ends to contain that outside man?
Well, I would imagine, first and foremost, that what they're going to do is there's got to be a wrinkle or two. That, you know, I don't know about a specific game plan, but I would suggest that there will be a wrinkle or two for Tebow, quite frankly, that the Patriot or that he hasn't seen. Yeah. So, you know, like I kind of alluded to earlier, if I'm Denver, I have to take the attitude of, listen, I can't pass up an opportunity. If we see those safeties creep up, we know that the Patriots have had trouble in the secondary giving up big plays. Yeah. I'm finding my big man, Demaryius Thomas, and I'm throwing the ball his way, and I'm throwing it up there, and I want him to go get it.
Yeah.
And the chances are he's going to get a couple. So the Patriots need to be aware of that. And then if they're, you know, I'm almost throwing the ball to open up the running game if I'm thinking Denver.
Yeah.
That sounds a little bold. It sounds a little bass-ackwards if you ask me, but quite frankly, I think it works because this team can run the football. And the Patriots learned that 3 weeks ago. So this is where Denver can be dangerous. If the Patriots don't force turnovers, if all things are equal, I think the Patriots can pull it out, but Denver can make this a game. And let's just say, oops, there's a tip pass and there's a pick six against Brady. Now you're talking something different.
Yeah.
So you gotta be real careful with it.
More zone with a man's spine or something like that. I think that'd help a little bit.
Well, I definitely think a spy, if you will, is a good idea. And I think they actually had that in the last game against Tebow. That, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, when they run that zone read option that you see in the college game more, and the Broncos have gotten away from most of that since they ran it in the middle of the year. But when they do run it, it can be effective because he's effective carrying the football. So they're going to have to make sure that somebody's got the assignment on number 15. Yeah, don't let him out of your sight.
I don't know if they might bring a extra nickel back in there to spy him or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't surprise me. Dante, would not surprise me. It would not surprise me to see the Patriots play largely, I would say probably a 3-3-5, almost like a stack-type defense that you see in the college game. That would not shock me in the least, because that way at least you've got more speed. And what's the one thing you want to do with Tebow? You got to keep him in the pocket, right?
Exactly right.
You don't want him outside the pocket, because that's when he can tuck it down and he can make you pay.
Yeah. But, guys, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Y'all doing a good job. Keep up the good work, fellas.
Thanks, Dante. Appreciate the call. you know, he kind of got me thinking about it there. Really, I mean, that would be great if you came out and you play with your three down linemen. You got three backers, but then you play with a nickel. So you're playing a stack defense where you really got the corners cut. This is where you really, though, are going to have to stay disciplined if Denver retaliates by running some of that zone read option. Ooh, good intrigue. I love it. Give it to me. John writes, he says, guys, so the question you ask is, who would you rather have? A quarterback who is not good and has a poor work ethic and is a bad team leader, or a quarterback who is not good and has a good work ethic and is a good team leader? Well, do we really know for a fact that Mark Sanchez has a poor work ethic? I mean, based on what we've seen, he struggled, certainly in the last half of the year. Won't argue that one. But do we really know if he has what we would all consider a poor work ethic? And I would answer that by saying, no, we don't know. Not unless you're hanging with the dude and you're going with him to his workouts or you see him slough things off. That's why this whole unnamed Jets player thing, that just bothers me. I think, you know, it's the New York Daily News just, you know, scraping up dirt, which is, you know, what New York tabloids are known for. I'm not sure that I would trust that. Somebody's got an axe to grind. John says, well, if that was my choice, I would take Tebow, but I would drop both of them for a good quarterback that has a good work ethic and a team leader. Well, naturally, guy like Brady, right? He says, that's saying like saying, would you like to be poked in the eye with a finger or with a finger with salt all over it? Either way, you're still getting poked in the eye. Don't get me wrong, the Broncos could very well win this game, but it will be because our defense plays bad, not because Tebow willed the team to win. That's probably most likely, yeah. Yeah, good point, John. If the Broncos win this game on Saturday, people will say, oh, Tebow, he's a miracle worker. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All that, that'll all come out. It'll all come out. But most likely what will happen is the Patriots had an ultimate disaster defensively if they lose this game. It won't be so much Tebow won the game. It'll be the Patriots' defense blew the game. Which is more likely to happen in your estimation? Tebow blowing it or the Patriots' defense blowing it? Or Tebow winning it, I should say, or the Patriots' defense blowing it? Maybe that's the proper question to ask here. Gene in Daytona. Tell Tyrone he's not alone in his suffering being a Pats fan. My son in Buffalo drives a tow truck, wears his Patriots hat, hard hat on jobs, and is constantly pelted by snowballs. Well, Gene, tell your son to take the hat off. I mean, come on. He can tow the truck without wearing the hat, can't he? He can wear it while he's in the truck. But when he's out on the job, he's got the Patriots hat on? Come on. He also says, did you see Tim Tebow's postgame comments last week when he said, I'm not really that good. The guys around me make me look better than I really am. Except for Tom, you tell me, what other NFL quarterback you know has enough confidence in himself to say this? I see a very tough game Saturday if they let Tim play. You know, that's a good point, Gene. I give you that. I think that's because Tim is supremely confident not only in himself but his ability and and that's great. To me, that's the makings of a good quarterback. You know, the physical stuff can happen. The technique can happen. You can always train. You can always coach. You can always work to improve. And I think that's some of the things that John Elway has been talking about, even though I think it's really hilarious that he's been on local radio in Denver and not committing to Tebow beyond this year. He hasn't committed to Tebow. He hasn't said Tim Tebow's our guy for the future. He hasn't said that. Right now, it's just convenient. They're riding the Tebow freight train is what they're doing in Denver right now. And they're going to ride the train as long as they can, and then like a hobo, they're going to jump off when it suits them. So let's call them the Denver hobos, because that's exactly what they're doing here. They're riding the Tebow train as long as they can. When it gets to the end of the road, he's done. And then some other team's going to try to ride the train too for a while. And my guess is that Tim Tebow, barring a bolt of lightning or whatever else comes from the sky, he'll probably end up being a journeyman in the NFL. Not that that's a bad thing. You know, anybody that has a career at this level is to be commended for having supreme talent. But is he going to be a franchise quarterback for, you know, 10, 15 years in one spot? Highly doubtful. Highly doubtful.
Could be like this guy.
And I have some good stories. Ah, sh**.
Okay. Really. So, interesting point, I think. Makes, you know, for some interesting thoughts anyway. Chris says, please, 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 can I have at least one place that doesn't mention Tibor every 30 seconds? I am close to becoming a fanatic. The Sand Rat, Headress, Shemag, Kalashnikov, and Libyan-plated VW camper is ready. I know where Andy Hart lives and will kidnap him and force-feed him on warm English beer, Yorkshire pudding, and Brussels sprouts until you stop mentioning the T-word or he explodes. Well, maybe we want you to do that with Andy. That's all I can tell you. That's good. Excellent. I like that email. Oh, you made me laugh. Oh, look who's on the board. Our friend Eldridge in North Carolina. What's up, Eldridge?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man. What's happening today?
Just riding. I ain't riding that Tebow train. I'm riding the Brady train.
All right. Ride the Brady train.
Ride the Brady train.
I like it.
Looking forward to this weekend because I'm tired of everybody telling me that we're going to get Tebow like Steelers, but I don't think so. I just hope, according to like that last caller,
yeah.
I just hope those, our secondary, especially McCourty and Arrington, just stay back, you know, and come in and make a tackle when you have to make a tackle once they pass the line of scrimmage instead of just getting burnt.
So you're thinking that it's okay to play a little bit soft and let the Broncos, you know, catch the underneath stuff?
No, I don't, be honest with you, I'm kind of defensive minded. I don't want them catching nothing, but if you ask me, I think of the last 16, 17 weeks, our boys forgot the fundamentals. I mean, they playing like untrained school kids sometimes, and they professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, you're making millions of dollars. You should be learning how to tackle, cover, and, you know, and hit. Not arm tackling if you're built like a Russian tank and, you know, somebody just running over you like a piece of paper.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right.
You know, but stuff underneath, no, John. I think, no, they should be able to hit and cover, you know. That's
well,
what I think about.
What I'm thinking is that I do think that they give some nickel and dime looks. I think 5 and 6 DBs will in there. I think they're going to stay, as Eric suggested in the opening hour, I think they'll stay mostly with 3 down linemen in front because of the tackle splits getting gouged as they did with the 166 they gave up on the ground in the first quarter 3 weeks ago. So, you know, I think all of that will probably play, but I also think the Patriots are deathly afraid of the Bronco backs turning the corner. So I think you're going to see one way or the other, you're going to see the Patriots keep Tebow hemmed in, and you'll see a spy, and you'll see somebody make sure they've got number 15 on the field at all times. So I think that there will be some opportunity for the Broncos, but it'll be up to them to make sure they hold on to the football.
Yeah,
and frankly, I really believe this stronger than ever. The Patriots should take the doggone football. If they win the toss, take the football and go score. And then give your defense some breathing room here, right?
I agree with you. If we win the toss, yeah, take it, score on them, and go right down the field. And I saw yesterday online that we're healthy now. Got the front line back, our whole offensive line.
Everybody's back in practice, and it has been for 2 days. Kyle Love was not in practice today, but I don't believe that's believed to be you know, threatening for Saturday. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, it looks as if all hands are on deck, which is great news.
Yeah, I went to my therapist today, and he told me hey, El, remember they activated 2 receivers, I guess because Decker went down.
Okay.
So what do you think they're going to do with those? And he said, I think they're going to try to go deep one because that's y'all weakest.
Well, I think
– right off the bat.
Yeah, I think that, you know, because of the unavailability, it would appear, of Dawkins, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Patriots attack them. Look, that's what I'm saying. Let's go get the ball. Let's get them down from the get-go. Let's put them out of their comfort zone. If you give them the ball and a chance to grind it out on you and do exactly what they did to you, you know, less than a month ago in Denver, you're just playing into their hands. Force them to do something that gets out of their level of comfort, and that is put them on the defensive. Make them think throw in order to catch up.
And I agree with that, too. And I hope Brady have a good day. But like I told him a couple of days ago, you know, he's going to need some help from the defense just a little bit. One or two stops, mm-hmm. we good. But thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge. Appreciate that. Here's Kat in Chicago. Kat, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. So to what do we owe this pleasure?
Well, I've been listening. I just haven't been able to listen live for the past few weeks. So.
Well, that's all right. I hope you're getting the podcast, though.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay, good. Good. So you're staying up with it. That's awesome.
Yep. I'm trying, at least.
you're getting the job done. That's all we can ask.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking about the question, the Tebow Sanchez question.
Yeah, go.
And I personally, I would take Tebow. I don't really like either one of them that much.
Yeah.
But I think Tebow has a lot more talent than Sanchez. Kind of unlike, I kind of think of it exactly the same way as I think it was, or I mean, I think differently than Tyrone, I think, said it.
Okay.
That he thinks Sanchez is more talented, but has more potential to be kind of reworked. But I actually think it's the opposite. I agree that Sanchez has some sort of a mental difficulty. And I'm not sure, to me, it seems like, number one, he's just not that smart. I'm not sure he's smart enough to be a high-level quarterback. You know, I'm not sure that he really understands defenses enough. I'm not sure he can adjust that way, you know, and kind of, you know, make those adjustments on the offense out on the field.
Okay.
Well, and I also think...
Let's just take that for a second, though, because I was getting ready to ask you the obvious question. So what in particular makes you think Tebow has got more overt talent? Because frankly, I see a lot of good things in Sanchez that he's just not able to get to, whereas Tebow, I don't see as much fundamental potential as I do in Sanchez. Yet Tebow has the tangibles apparently right now that Sanchez does not. That's why I asked the question today. Who would you rather have at this stage, all things being equal? Frankly, I don't know that I can make a call, and that doesn't make me a fence sitter here, but if I really had to choose between one or the other right now at this very second at 3:39 p.m. Eastern time on a Wednesday, okay, I would choose Tebow. And why would I choose Tebow? Because his team's playing and Sanchez's is not.
Right.
But if the Jets were playing and these two, and the Jets were a better team right now and didn't have all this great karma or, you know, blessedness or whatever has kissed, you know, sunshine up, you know, blown up the skirts of the Broncos here. Frankly, I'd probably pick Sanchez if his team were still playing. Because, frankly, I'd see more overt quarterbacking, NFL quarterbacking skills in Sanchez, whether his work ethic is good or not, than I do in Tebow. And I challenge anybody who considers themselves a solid football fan to tell me otherwise.
It's an interesting point, because what you said, the first time you said talent between the two of them, and then you said quarterback potential.
Okay.
And they're different things.
Okay. Tell me why.
I think Tebow is overall a better athlete. Do I think he's got as much quarterback potential? Probably not.
Is he a better athlete, though, Kat, because he's just stronger?
I think a lot of things go into that, and maybe I'm putting some intangibles in there too. I think he's definitely stronger, but I think he has kind of a better feel for the game. Like I see him; he can make decisions quickly. He sees the play happen. He's got better kind of vision of the field, I think, than mm-hmm. Sanchez does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I think that he's. Honestly, to me, really the main thing that it comes down to between them, I think, is that Tebow is willing to take a risk and be bold on the field. And Sanchez, I see a lot of the time, I think he's just more timid. He takes the sacks that Tebow would try to get out of. He, you know what I mean? I think it's just a different mindset. And so because of that, you know, I don't think Sanchez ever will live up to his potential. Because I don't think he's mentally strong enough or, I don't know exactly, but strong, either mentally strong enough or smart enough or something is holding him back from being able to kind of meet that potential. He's definitely, you know, got a better arm, I think, and is more accurate. I just don't think he's ever going to get there.
All right. That's interesting. You know, I don't know that we can ever definitively say whether or not somebody's going to get there or not, but I think we can see that there are some inalienable traits that Tebow has that aren't quite as apparent in Sanchez.
Right.
I would tell you that they go about, obviously, things a little bit differently, but I get the impression that maybe just because Tebow seems to be a little bit more fiery in terms of his leadership ability doesn't necessarily mean that Sanchez isn't a leader. I would tell you that I think the entire Jets team is extremely, supremely, in fact, disappointed in the way that their season ended, which is why we're seeing all this sniping going on right now, much to, you know, our pleasure around here. But I also don't believe that that's a direct reflection on Sanchez's ability as a quarterback. I think here's a guy that is just dying to be tutored. And I think that's why Jets fans are largely saying, go get Manning, go get Manning, go get Manning. Now, I don't know that that answers all the questions, because, you know, if you went and you got Peyton Manning, number one, I've been rooting for this since the first rumor happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago it could happen. I don't know that Sanchez takes that quote-unquote demotion very well. But I would also tell you that it wouldn't be longer for a year or two anyway, because I think we all know that Manning's time is somewhat limited now with a shelf life.
Right.
I don't know that he'd be willing to take a situation like that. And after you've been a starter for, you know, let's put it this way, in your job, you've been handling it the best of your ability, but your support help hasn't been great. And then all of a sudden they're going to bring in a young stud superstar, or put it this way, let's bring in an older veteran who's been doing your job for, 15 years longer than you have been. He's been paid a higher salary, and all of a sudden your boss decides, you know what, we need something because our sales are down. So we're going to turn to this person. And no offense, Kat, but you need to kind of learn under them for, you know, a couple of years here until, you know, whatever. Now, is that fair to you?
No, I don't. I mean, it's certainly not fair. The thing is, I wonder, even if they did that, to me, there's kind of like a shelf life, you know, to the quarterback experiment. You know what I mean? And you see, Sanchez, I think, has struggled every year. There have been issues, and there have been, you know what I mean? I don't think there's been a year that people have come out of his and just said, wow, that was a great year, and we're really happy with him. There's always been some doubts, mm-hmm. right, still lingering every year. And I think there's only so many years that people can take that. You know what I mean? I think that's why there are a lot of quarterbacks that have come into the league and been very talented and never panned out. And a lot of the time it didn't have to do with them so much as the people surrounding them and the expectations and all of that. And so I wonder if something like that, where you brought in Manning and he was supposed to sit under him, I wonder if that would just be kind of like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, and he just wouldn't, you know, again, mentally, maybe it's because I feel strongly that there is some weakness there, that maybe he just wouldn't be able to recover from that. You
know
what
I mean? Well, that's possible.
I don't know.
That's possible. I think that this is going to be great theater for the off season. But, you know, more so to the question that we asked here today. I mean, right now I'd probably lean toward taking Tebow only because his team is still playing, which indicates to me that his team is all on the same page, whereas Sanchez's was not.
And
I do think that a quarterback can have exert some influence over that. Some. Not as much as people think, because it is a team of 45 individuals out there. And that's why football is, to me, one of the great, it is the ultimate team sport, because you got so many disparate parts that all have to be pulling together on the same page to have ultimate success.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, unless you've been on a team. And if you've been on a team, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's really hard to do. And I do believe that's one of the reasons why, you know, Denver has had such unbelievable success largely in winning the division and doing what they've done over the course of the last, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, because they've got all these guys believing in Tebow. Flawed or not, they're all believing in it. And so they're clearly overachieving.
Right.
You know, and can they pull the ultimate overachievement? And that would probably come here on Saturday. And I think most people realize that, you know, Patriots would have to do a lot of giving in order for the Broncos to be able to take.
Well, it's interesting. The one person I think on the Broncos that really scares me for the game isn't Tebow, it's Thomas.
Yes, I agree. I agree 110%. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a man child.
Yes, he is. He in the previous game, he He looked like a man among children.
Yeah.
He punished them.
He did. That's just a physical mismatch, though, for anybody, though, Kat.
Yeah, it is. So, well, I know, but that's my point, is if Tebow can be accurate enough to get the ball in his area, which he is a lot of the time. I mean, he's not. There were some throws in that last game that were just bad, but even with a something off the side, you can see Thomas get it and make something out of it. And so he frightens me. If we could find a way, I don't know how, but if we could find a way to shut him down, I would feel a lot better about our chances.
Well, I think that's probably what you'll see some of with all of the nickel and the dime packages you'll see in the secondary. I definitely think there will be help over the top for Thomas, but everybody else is on their own. So it's going to be up to Tebow to find, potentially another target or two somewhere. And I also believe Denver's going to try to pound the ball down the Patriots' throats. They'll find a three-man front, and they're going to see if they can't they're going to try to work them over. The Patriots' job is going to be to funnel that run into the middle of the Patriots' defense, where they are most effective. Trying to run at Wilfork and Mayo in particular. That's where the Patriots are going to try to focus on. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I agree. I just think I'm still worried, even with help. I'm still a little worried about Thomas.
Anytime somebody can burn you like he did on that first play of overtime, which was a spectacular play, you should be worried. And so I think the Patriots need to be worried because he'll probably come up with a big catch or two. You have to hope that, ultimately it doesn't ruin you like it did for Pittsburgh.
I'd love to see him and Gronkowski on the same field. That would be...
that'd be scary.
That'd be
scary.
If I may, Thomas in the first game had 116 yards receiving against the Patriots.
116?
116, seven catches. Can't get much better than that.
That's pretty strong.
They still lost by three touchdowns.
Well, he would have, in other words, I think where Pete's going with
I'm just saying.
He'd have to be a heck of a lot more.
Well, no, what I'm saying is let him be the guy. Let him catch his 116. Somebody's going to get some yardage in this game.
Well, you don't want the Broncos, though, running for 150 a quarter
But again, 116 yards. Guess how many touchdowns Thomas had?
Zero
against the Patriots.
He did have zero.
Zero.
Let's hope that continues.
There's no question.
I like this. Yeah. I like you, Kat.
Thank you.
You are definitely the most logical person that has called in the last hour.
She's very level. She's very level-headed. Thanks, Kat. I'm glad you called.
All right. Thanks. It's nice to talk to you again.
You too. Thank you. Don't be too much of a stranger. I realize everybody has to
work.
Where's
Tiffany been?
Yeah, where's Tiffany, Wisconsin been?
I'm seriously worried because she hasn't emailed or called.
I know. That's a good point. Tiff, we're calling you out here. Between you and Kat, very intelligent. I have to throw Mary Beth in there, too. She did invite me over for a game-watching party in the Cuse on Saturday. So, Donald in Marietta, Georgia says, John, along with the pass interference rule changes you discussed earlier, I'd like to add a few things. We also need to call the offensive pass interference when committed. As it is, both players have equal right to the ball, but the receiver has a more equal right to the ball. That's true. I'd also like to see beyond 5 yards to be 7 or 8 yards because all of the crossing and pick routes take the tough physical DB out of the game. A couple of yards more to allow contact brings back the bump and run and man defense. I think that's one that we probably won't see happen, Donald. Gene says, yesterday you said the one rule you would like to see changed is the pass interference penalty. I like your suggestion for the NFL to convert to the college rule of 15 yards from the present spot. I can't remember how many games we lost because of the present interference spot call was left to a ref's discretion. An unreviewable penalty should not have that much effect on a game. I believe the refs themselves would be in favor of this change. No ref wants his call to determine the outcome of a game. It's another good point, Gene. Another good point where that's concerned. Let me get some Facebook stuff in here because I've got some good Facebook posts I also want to get to, as long as the page will load for me again. Brian says, isn't it ironic that after all these years of who will replace Elway as quarterback in Denver, that it is now on Elway to decide who, if anyone, will replace Tebow? It's interesting. Like I said earlier, I really believe, Elway committed the ultimate gaffe when he talked about on local radio earlier this week, not committing necessarily to Tebow. Tebow's not necessarily his guy for the future. I mean, that's what I read into his comments to local radio. So, I'm like, well, okay, you just opened up a huge can of worms for yourself again. What they're doing is they're on borrowed time. They're on Tebow time in Denver. They're riding the freight train until the freight train, like a hobo, until you jump off because you got, nothing else left. That's what Denver is doing now.
I think it's going to be really interesting. And I'm still not convinced that in week 7 of next season he's going to be a starting NFL quarterback. I'm just not.
I'm with you, Pete. I'm totally with you. I'm not convinced he's going to be the guy either.
Certainly be in the NFL. There's certainly a place for him in the NFL.
That's what
I like your discussion with Catchers then, because I would take Tebow. But taking out over Sanchez, because I wouldn't play him a quarterback. I would play him somewhere else. I would just take Tebow because I think he can add more of a dynamic to your team than Sanchez is. I think Sanchez is a joke. He did okay in a couple games. But I think he's gone nowhere.
He helped get his Jets to the NFC.
At least Tebow can play in the NFL.
He beat the Patriots here last year.
He can play in the NFL. Well, he had a couple nice throws. I'll give him credit. I mean, he had a couple nice throws. But
just saying.
You know?
Just saying.
Well, I mean, that one game. He also lost 45-3 to them, too.
Here's one for you, Pete. Edwin posts on Facebook, what do you think about a report from NFL Network now expecting Miami to sign Jeff Fisher as the next head coach within the next couple of days?
I did not want to see that happen. You know how much if Bill wasn't coaching this team, I'd want Jeff Fisher coaching this team. That's how much respect I have. I think he's a tremendous coach. I do not want him in the AFC East. Don't want him there. I'm glad. I mean, he was going to get a job no matter what he wants.
I think he's smart
because why would you want to go to
Jackson? It's absolutely smart.
You know, Mike full of malarkey. Let him go to Jackson if you want to deal with that mess. Why would you want that?
Right.
Why would you want to go to the Rams? Bradford's got some, you know, potential.
Potential, but I mean, but you can win. I think you got still some pieces in place in Miami.
I think Miami, you got, you know, I could absolutely see him there. It's probably more money, better TV money. Sideshows, radio shows, all that stuff.
More tradition.
I just did not want him in the
AFC. Let's get Jeff Fisher in Miami, and let's bring Peyton Manning to New York. Would we have a division to talk about next year?
Be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Be fantastic.
Just awesome.
Fantastic.
Great stories, huh?
Jets.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what his deal is. I mean, did he fire Polian because Polian wanted to trade Manning?
We're going to find out. We will ultimately know the answer.
Now he's going to keep Manning. Like I said, March 8th is the day. $26 million on that day, or $28 million, whatever it is.
Right.
Includes a $12 million signing bonus 3 days before the deadline. So that's the day.
It is good. Okay, Facebook. Bruce says, John, they have no shot. Talking about Denver. It would be a bigger upset than Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. There is no way a Belichick team allows Denver to come into Foxborough and win this game. And as you know, the Pats are not my number one team, but I say New England 34, Denver 17. Andre writes, John, the only chance the Broncos have of winning is if the Patriots have two or more turnovers and one of those is returned for a touchdown. As long as the Pats take care of the football, they will win. And then Arlene tells me the Patriots have to play their game, and hopefully the players are not as cocky as the fans. I think that's also a very good point. Our fans are supremely cocky. They always are. They're spoiled rotten, and I think we all know that.
I don't know. There's a lot of them that are pretty pessimistic at times. You know, they fall in love with one stat or another, and like, you know, I try to break down everything, and not just look at one instance. Like I said, I do it all the time with defenses. You can't just look at net yardage. I look at it as like 8 or 9 parts of the defense that you have to look at. That's why I wish the NFL would change the way they rank defenses and offenses for that matter, and not just based on solely on net yardage. There's so much more that goes into it. If that were the case, Pittsburgh would win every game according to net yardage 50-0. I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, I mean, you see what happens. What would you rather have? The number one net yardage, and again, as I said it time and time again, go look and see who the Steelers played this year on offense. And yes, besides the Patriots in that one day, can't give them all the credit in the world. But look at the offenses they face in their schedule. Same for Baltimore. Same for San Francisco. You got to look at the games and the people and the offenses they have gone up against. That's why I still think San Francisco is going to be in big trouble this week. It's going to be 65 degrees and sunny in San Francisco. And I don't think weather's going to be a factor. I don't care what San Francisco's defense is ranked. They have not come close to facing an offense like this. The two they did come up against, they lost. Oh, no, I shouldn't say they lost. They won one because Michael Vick turned the ball over a few times in the second half and blew a 21-point lead after Vick threw 416 yards on him. The other game they lost was to Dallas.
Interesting.
When Romo was the only other offensive threat they had in week two, the only other team they played with any kind of offense after that was Philadelphia. We'll give them the game of Detroit. That was a hell of a win. That was the Schwartz, handshake and the Harbaugh Schwartz debacle.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the most impressive win was in Detroit this year. But, you know, I think they're going to struggle against New Orleans. I'm not buying If they had shut down big-time offensive teams during the year, I'd feel a lot better, but they haven't.
John says, John, I would take Sanchez over Tebow anytime. Here's my reasoning. Sanchez is unfortunately a product of his own coaching. This is a guy with solid talent and ability who is touted as the Sanchez, the future, the man. Well, John, I'm a youth sports coach, and even I know that you don't take a first-year kid and let him believe he's the best there ever was. Ryan has done more damage to Sanchez than anyone realizes, and it's going to take a guy who takes no crap like Bill Belichick to knock him back to earth and then retrain his work ethic. Interesting point. Kind of an interesting point.
Yep.
Let's see. I've got a couple of others here.
Well, but from what the players are saying, and I know it's anonymous and it's cowardly what they're doing, but
yeah,
it's clear, and you can hear from Rex Ryan's remarks after of the season, that basically there wasn't – I mean, Mark Brunell is not going to push you off a starting
right
block. And, you know, maybe the players were exaggerating a little bit, John, but there got to be some truth there to that this guy was allowed to do basically, you know, no one there to push him.
Right.
Somebody even brought it up. I forget when their last game against Miami, and I might have been Phil Sims or somebody in the studio, Boomer, one of those guys on CBS said, he's like, look at Sanchez. He goes, I'm picking Miami. He said, look at Sanchez. He's sitting over in the corner talking. He said, he's already out of here. That's what I felt like during that game.
Tim says, if anyone dismisses at least a puncher's chance, they can't have paid much attention to the NFL over the last 20 years. Nothing is 100% ever, and anything can happen. As a Patriots fan and follower, how can anyone not give them one? Pats, Rams in 01, Pats, Giants in 07. What more needs to be said? As unlikely as it is that the Broncos win this game, it is possible. Who knows? A couple of turnovers, a special teams touchdown, an injury, anything is possible. Anyone who doesn't give them even a puncher's chance is either delusional, mental midget, or worse. Believes in the Wilson Arse power ranking. Look out, superstitious fans. Rook's not going to be on the PA. If Belichick comes out in his red hoodie, you might want to change the channel. That's a good point, Tim.
Yeah, you're going to Syracuse.
He says, also, give me Tebow over Sanchez. Sanchez bites. They win in spite of him because the Jets' D's exceptional. Obviously, the team isn't behind Sanchez, and why would they be? He's a turnover machine. Tebow is the team 100% behind him. Sanchez obviously does not. Could Sanchez be better with better coaching? Maybe. Sexy Rexy has never worked with a good QB in his career, which tells me something, but one thing the NFL has shown almost all the time. When a QB sucks for his first few years, he tends to not turn it around. Interesting. Good comments today.
Tell you,
my
first
God.
Couple
good
years,
comments.
Tell you, but there have been a lot of exceptions. Though, if people go back and you punch up Terry Bradshaw's numbers the first couple of years,
yeah,
they wanted him out. They wanted him gone. Go look at his numbers. Go look at Joe Namath's numbers overall. They are pathetic.
Right.
They really are, because it was a different league back then. What time is the Syracuse game? Providence game on Saturday?
6.
What?
6.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, but at least be over with in time for the Patriots.
Yeah, I flip New Orleans and San Fran's first, right? At 4:30.
Right.
Oh, that sucks for you. What do you do? What do you do?
I have to work. I'm on the air.
I know that, but you come after. You staying over? You got to come right back.
No, I'm on the team. I'm on the team bus.
You're bussing it back?
Yeah.
Is there a TV on the bus?
No.
Oh, what about your laptop? Can you get it through?
Yeah, I'll just have to Gamecast. I've already got the DVR set, Pete.
Yeah, but you know, somebody's going to say the game will be on.
Oh, I know. I will know what happened. I just won't be able to watch it until
Sunday. You can't watch it on your laptop?
No.
Live?
You can always listen to it.
Hello!
Well, that's what I would think about doing. I'm going to bring the headphones, so that way I think once we get out
on
the...
It's a national broadcast. Yeah, so
but once we get on the New York Thruway, I think I'll be able to pick up 98.5 that far away.
Well, but it'll also be on it's going to be on... Whoever picks up
Westwood One,
or the other network that carries it.
That's what I'm going to angle for.
Holy Toledo!
Yeah,
the same problem this Sunday with the Wisconsin Badgers playing Michigan State. It was Michigan State. They had a big game coming up at 5 o'clock, and they would not let them. They couldn't move the game because of travel plans. Nebraska, I think they're playing Nebraska, and there was something that the other team couldn't leave, so they're going to go right up against the Packer game. That stinks.
It does stink.
That
hey,
sticks.
What are you going to do? You know, it's the NFL. They're, you know, mightier than everybody. So, be a great opportunity though for the Friars to pull the ultimate upset against a team that I think is unbeatable because nobody will see it.
I'll see. That was great last night. That was fun, huh?
That was unbelievable.
That was
a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think last time Providence won by 31 ever, and I'm trying. And all I could think of was round one against UAB in the NCAA tournament in 1987, where they waxed them by 31.
Here's the thing, Pete. Last night's win was the largest margin of victory ever against a ranked team for Providence.
Unbelievable.
Ever. So that's pretty good.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty good. I think it was just kind of like, you know, the dam breaking. And we wouldn't have known that. I mean, we missed one of our 15-point a game scorers last night out with an injury. Would never have thought that in a million years. But what that shows you now is that when you least expect it.
That's right. You never know.
And that's what I think Patriots fans have to be on guard for this weekend.
I know they brought the anniversary of the 25th team came out last night. And no mention of Patino, I heard.
I think it was sort of like, well, if he can't be out here, let's just kind of skim over it. Because he had planned to be out on the court at halftime if things had gone better for his team, but he went into the locker room with him. So they just decided, let's just kind of skim over it. But they had planned in advance that he was going to not go into the locker room with his team, and he's going to stay out on the floor with his 87 team. It meant that much to him, and he talked about it. In fact, I talked to, my buddy Bob Valvano and Paul Rogers. Mm-hmm. They do the Louisville radio.
Yep.
And they said, Patino's going to stay out. He's not going into the locker room at halftime. He's already told us that. But then, obviously, when you're getting your butt handed to you by 18, it's a little different story.
Twice in my life, I think a coach has actually willed a team to win. I don't say that. Twice I've seen it in college basketball. One was Providence in 87 against Austin Peay in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were down by 10 with 2 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They won in overtime. The other one was Calipari against UMass semifinal game against not Kentucky. I forget who it was.
In 96?
I forget who they were playing. But, man, that was an unbelievable team.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah, New Orleans was so much fun that that was great. No, my dad came away. I made him come.
That's neat.
Cause
that's cool.
Providence
good
College
time.
Alum, and
yeah,
was,
good time.
It was a blast.
Awesome. All right, what's coming up on your show?
Nothing.
Okay.
No.
Bye.
No, just me ranting and raving. Lots. I've already got tons of Facebook messages I got to read.
Good.
Lots of emails. This is all about you guys today. You
good.
Guys. I specifically said no guests today because I want to hear.
You got one at 5, though.
Oh, that's right. We got who's coming on at 5?
Chris Price.
Oh, Chris Price from EI.com.
Oh,
that's
all
right.
That so there you go.
That's fine.
Well, Chris is great, though.
He is. He's fantastic. So we'll have Christopher on. But until then, all your emails and phone calls and
beauty.
And everything else. And we'll get into all the games. I think it's going to be a fascinating weekend, as usual.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, final word comes from my friend Omar in Atlanta. I ask him the question, who would you take, Tebow or Sanchez? And he says, is there a third choice? Good answer, Omar. Good answer. All right, same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow. Russell Baxter, pro football guru, will join us. We'll look at the divisional playoff weekend, and we take another step toward playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, Jim Mora. Playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.